Thank you again, worship team. A child of God, that is a phrase that is so rich with meaning, and being a child of God means that you and I can come to our Heavenly Father with all of our needs, with all of our concerns. The sovereign God loves us, and the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And there is nothing, no weapon, nothing formed against us shall stand as God's children. We are, as I had mentioned earlier, going through the Ten Commandments. This morning we come to commandment number 5, and before we do that, let's join together and let's invite God's Spirit to speak to us today, shall we? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that in Christ there is freedom. There is freedom from enslavement to sin. We are forgiven in Christ, and that is a wonderful thing, an amazing thing to know that the guilt of our sin was laid upon Jesus, and we have been set free. Father, we have been set free to live for Christ, and all because of your grace. This morning, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the very fact that your word is timeless. It is eternal. Father, your word will stand forever. It stands the test of time. And the Ten Commandments, although many in our culture today see these commandments as some sort of a relic from the distant past, these commandments are rich with meaning. And Lord, as we look at commandment number 5, a commandment that really speaks to the foundation of society, to the family, and to respecting authority, may you teach us through your Holy Spirit, may you encourage us, may you challenge us to live out these commandments and to live out your word day by day faithfully. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, history tells us that the Roman Emperor Nero was a brutal tyrant who slaughtered Christians and executed his own mother. Nero reigned as the Emperor of Rome from AD 54 to AD 68. During his reign, he had an extramarital affair with a woman named Sabina. Sabina wanted Nero to divorce his wife and marry her. She begged and pleaded with Nero and called him a coward for refusing to divorce his wife. Nero might have listened to Sabina, but there was one person who stood in his way. That person was his mother. To be with his mistress, Nero decided that he had to get rid of his mother. So he secretly began plotting her death. One night, Nero held a lavish dinner party in honor of his mother. After the dinner party, Nero sent his mom on a cruise boat. Unknown to her, the boat was rigged to collapse at sea with the purpose of drowning her. However, the ship failed to disintegrate completely, and his mother survived. When Nero heard the news of his mother's survival, he feared for his life. He feared that she would stir up the Roman army and seek revenge. But Nero's mother had decided that the best way to ensure her survival was to pretend that she did not suspect her son's treachery. But Nero's mother was wrong. Nero sent several military officials to his mother's home. The military men beat her with clubs and put her to death with the sword. This story is a good illustration of the tragic consequences when people fail to obey the fifth commandment. And during the past 4 weeks, we've been working our way through these commandments, and today we come to number 5, the fifth one, which calls us to honor our mother and our father. We might wonder how this commandment applies to us today. After all, we live in a society where broken homes are common. Today, close extended families are more the exception than the norm. So how does the fifth commandment apply to us today? Does it belong in the distant past, or is it relevant to our 21st century world? Please follow along as I read this commandment for you in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Deuteronomy 5, 16 says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Before we take a closer look at this commandment, it's important for us to note that the first four commandments deal with our relationship to God, whereas the final six commandments are concerned with our relationship to other people. The first four commandments teach us to put God in his rightful place. He should occupy the central place in our lives. He is to be worshiped and honored as the Creator and Lord of all. So the first four commandments teach us how to love God, while commandments 5-10 teach us how to love our neighbor and how to live peacefully with one another. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the remaining six commandments deal with our relationships with other people. The commandment we're looking at today is the first of those commandments that address our human relationships. I think it's very significant that God, when God tells us how to relate to others, he begins with our own family. This is because loving our neighbor begins at home. The family unit is the foundation of a healthy society. Let's take a few moments to unravel the meaning of this fifth commandment. What does it mean for us to honor our mother and our father? When we think about this commandment, we usually understand it to mean that children, little children, should obey their parents. Although this is true, the fifth commandment means something much, much deeper. It primarily means three things. First, to honor our father and mother means that we are to give due weight to our parents. We are to give our parents due weight. The Hebrew word for honor literally means heavy or weighty. It's the same word the Old Testament uses to describe the glory of God and to describe the importance of God. In this context, to say that God is weighty means that he occupies a high position and he is to be taken seriously. In a similar vein, to honor our parents is to give due weight to the position they occupy in our life. To honor them is to respect them and hold them in high esteem. To help us understand what it means to honor our parents or to give them due weight, listen to the words of Mark Mitchell. He writes, "When we give weight to something, we give it our time, energy, and attention. How much weight do you give to your work? How much weight do you give to your finances? How much weight do you give to your health and to your friends? These are the things to which we typically give our time, energy, and attention, and on which we place the most value." Now, having said that we are to give due weight to our parents, I certainly recognize that some of you grew up with parents who were emotionally unavailable, physically absent, or even abusive, which means that this commandment is very difficult to apply. In situations with an abusive or absent parent, you may not be able to respect the person, but you can still honor their position as parent. The fifth commandment calls us to honor our parents because of their position, not necessarily because of their performance. It's difficult to honor a parent who has caused you a lot of pain or who has failed you in many different ways. How you honor a difficult parent is a matter of praying and asking God to give you grace and wisdom. For example, I heard the story just this past week of a woman who grew up with a mother who was extremely violent. Her mother would get angry and she would slap, punch, and verbally abuse her daughter. Today, as an adult living several hundred kilometers away from her mother, this woman honors her mother by sending her flowers on her birthday and on Mother's Day. They don't have a close relationship, but these small gestures are a way in which this woman shows her mother honor and respect. The fifth commandment is all about showing proper respect and value to one's parents. As Leviticus 19:3 says, "Each of you must respect his mother and father." There is a second meaning behind this commandment. The fifth commandment calls us to respect authority. The fifth commandment extends far beyond the command to honor our mother and father. The Hebrew word translated honor refers not only to the respect that we owe to God, but also to the respect we owe to those who occupy a position of authority. The Heidelberg Catechism says the fifth commandment requires that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my mother and father, and to all who are set in authority above me. In other words, when God calls us to respect our parents, by implication, he's really telling us to respect authority, whether that authority is at work, in the church, in government, and so forth. A basic biblical principle is that we are to respect those who are in a position of authority over us, whether they be, for example, teachers, police, and others who hold places of authority in our society. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king." I read a few verses from Romans 13 for you earlier in the service, and there in Romans 13, Paul explains that a peaceful and orderly society is based on a respect for authority. The late author and pastor James Kennedy once wrote that after 42 years as the pastor of the same church, he had seen a number of people fired from their jobs for various reasons. In some cases, poor job performance was the reason. But in many other cases, Kennedy had counseled people who had lost their jobs due to their attitude toward authority. Some people simply have a hard time submitting to the expectations and rules of the workplace. As Kennedy pointed out, learning to respect authority is a critical part of living successfully. When a society loses its sense of respect for authority, and I think we're seeing that today, the consequences are never, ever good. Let me draw your attention to a third point. The fifth commandment calls us to be honorable parents. So if we have children, this commandment is not limited to showing respect to parents and to those in authority. It also points to the importance of being an honorable parent, a parent who is worthy of respect. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." 1 Timothy 5:8 assumes, it makes the assumption, that a father and mother will love and care for their children and their extended family. It assumes that they will strive to meet the needs of their family. Furthermore, Scripture emphasizes that it is the responsibility of parents to teach and model biblical values so that faith in Christ is passed on from one generation to the next. For example, Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." The Lord requires children to honor their parents, and in turn, he requires parents to be honorable and to be worthy of respect. Although I've shared this story with you before, it bears repeating. It's a fairy tale written by the Grimm brothers to teach a lesson about treating others the way we want to be treated. The fairy tale goes this way. There was once an older man, and his health was declining rapidly. His hands shook uncontrollably, and he could no longer take care of himself. Because he had no place to live, he moved in with his son's family. To say the least, the son's wife was not happy about the new living arrangement. She especially hated it at the dinner table, where the elderly man would often spill his food and spill his drink. Finally, in anger and desperation, she insisted that her father-in-law eat all his meals alone in the corner, separated from the rest of the family. So he began to eat all alone in a corner where he wasn't bothering anyone anymore. But one day his hands were shaking so much that he knocked his plate onto the floor and spilled his meal onto the brand new carpet. That does it, the daughter-in-law yelled. If you're going to eat like a pig, we're going to feed you like a pig. So she made a wooden trough. She put it on the floor, and she told him that he had to eat out of this trough. So the elderly man did as he was told. A few days later, one afternoon, the woman's little boy ran into the house, all excited about something that he had made at school. "Look, Mommy, I made a trough to feed you and Daddy out of when I grow up." Well, when she heard those words from her son, the woman began to cry. She realized that she had treated her father-in-law horribly. From that day forward, the elderly man ate his meals at the table with the rest of the family. From a very young age, children are taught the golden rule. The golden rule actually comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, where Jesus said, "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." We can easily see the correlation between the golden rule and the fifth commandment. At the heart of the fifth commandment is the idea of treating others the way we desire to be treated. So let's dig a little deeper now and look at three reasons why God gave us this commandment. Reason number one, the fifth commandment underscores the importance, the extreme importance of the nuclear family. When God created the family, he intended the family home to be the primary place where children learn values, ethics, and morality. He created the family as the basis and foundation for all human relationships. One example comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7, in which the Lord said, this passage says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So the point here in Deuteronomy 5 is that parents have a primary responsibility for the moral and biblical instruction of their children. Here's a second reason why God gave us the fifth commandment. It is the basis for a stable and peaceful society. The fifth commandment is unique because it is the only one of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached to it. Here in this commandment, God promises that those who honor their parents will live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone who honors their parents is guaranteed to live an extremely long life, and those who do not honor their parents are guaranteed a short life. The promise refers more to quality of life than quantity of life. In effect, God is promising that a society where parents are honored will be peaceful, stable, and orderly. A society where elders and parents are respected will have a positive impact upon the welfare of a nation. Now, up until a few years ago, the phrase granny dumping was unheard of. Maybe you've heard of this term. You can now find this particular phrase, granny dumping, in the dictionary. It is a phrase used to describe elderly people who are abandoned by their family. Several years ago, a woman drove her 82-year-old father several hundred miles from her home in Oregon and abandoned him at a racetrack in Idaho. The woman took off with her father's identification and his bank account information. Because the man was suffering from Alzheimer's disease, he couldn't identify himself to the police. Eventually, children from his first marriage recognized the man when they saw his photo on television. The abandoned man's daughter was eventually arrested and put on trial for kidnapping and theft. In another case, a family drove all the way from North Carolina and abandoned their 96-year-old aunt outside a Salvation Army shelter in Florida. Then the family took a vacation to Disney World, but they didn't return to the shelter to pick up their aunt. According to the American Association of Emergency Room Physicians, about 70,000 elderly people in the United States are abandoned by their families every year outside hospitals, shelters, and other public places. The Tampa General Hospital in Tampa, Florida, sees two or three cases of granny dumping every single week. Granny dumping, if you Google it, has also become a problem in Australia, the United Kingdom, and here in Canada. The phenomenon of granny dumping leads us to a third reason behind the fifth commandment. Loving our neighbor begins inside the home. Loving our neighbor begins in the home. In Mark 12:31, Jesus told us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But where does loving our neighbor begin? It begins with the members of our own family. 1 Timothy 5:4 tells us that if we fail to care for the needs of our own family members, we fail to put our faith into practice. The fifth commandment points to our responsibility to love our family and then go out and love our neighbors. Ultimately, when God gives a command like the fifth commandment, he gives it the well-being of society and necessary for our own well-being. So now that we've looked at the meaning of the fifth commandment and the reasons behind it, let's look for a few moments at how this commandment can apply to our lives. Let me suggest that there are at least three applications. First, the fifth commandment applies to people of all ages. It applies to all of us, no matter what stage of life we're at. Many of us no longer have parents who are still alive. But for those who do, we need to strive to respect our parents. Now, how can we do that? Well, here are a few thoughts. We can take the initiative to do our part in developing a positive relationship with our parent or our parents. And maybe, as I said earlier, you've had a difficult relationship with one or both of your parents, but you can do whatever you can do on your part to develop a positive relationship. We can support and care for them however we are able to do so. The fifth commandment applies to children, young adults, and adults of all ages. Second, we are called to model Christ-like character. As I said earlier, one way to apply this commandment is to be an honorable parent if we have children, to exemplify honesty, faith, integrity, and strong Christian character to our children, no matter how old they are. Whether our children are young or older, we still need to be an example that they can follow. Third, we are to love those who are closest to us and care for their needs. If we have aging parents, we need to ensure that they are properly cared for and not neglected. Jesus honored his mother right to the end of his life. John 19 tells us that even as he was hanging on the cross, Jesus looked at John the disciple, and he asked John to take care of his mother. As with all teaching of Scripture, when we apply the fifth commandment to our lives, you and I are far, far richer because we have done so. Let us pray. Father God, as we have looked at this fifth commandment, we often understand it to mean young children obeying their parents as they are being raised inside the home. And yet, as we have looked at and seen this morning, this fifth commandment has a meaning that goes far beyond that. Behind this fifth commandment is the implication that we are to respect authority. We are to care and respect our parents. We are to be honorable parents, and we are also to respect those who are in places of authority in our society. Lord, we see the consequences all around us with a lack of respect for authority today. Lord, help us. Help us if we have adult children or young children to be a Christ-like example of integrity and faith and good character. Help us, Father, if we have aging parents to ensure that they are not neglected but are being cared for. And Lord, for those who may struggle to apply this commandment to their life because they have difficult relationships with one or more of their parents, Lord, I ask you to give them wisdom, to give them grace, to give them patience and understanding as to how they might be able to show respect for that particular parent or those particular parents. Lord, your word is rich in wisdom, and the truth is when we apply it to our lives are far better for it. Help us to have the wisdom to apply this commandment, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.